Welcome back, my friends, to Nancy's Morning Meditations. I'm Nancy Stallard. This is my dog, Mandy. And today we're going to be reading from My Utmost for His Highest by Dr. Oswald Chambers. You can order your own copy of this devotion book simply by going to utmost.org. And I would love to hear comments from you and also how these devotions are increasing your faith in Jesus. You can contact me through my website, nancyjoytoyou.com. That's NancyJoy, the number 2, the letter U.com. Now let's hear from God's Word today. Welcome to My Utmost for His Highest for March 17th. The servant's primary goal. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm going to start with verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. The servant's goal. We make it our aim. It requires a conscious decision and effort to keep our primary goal constantly in front of us. It means holding ourselves to the highest priority year in and year out. Not making our first priority to win souls or to establish churches or to have revivals, but seeking only to be well-pleasing to Him. It is not a lack of spiritual experience that leads to failure, but a lack of working to keep our eyes focused on the right goal. At least once a week, examine yourself before God to see if your life is measuring up to the standard He has for you. Paul, like a musician who gives no thought to audience approval, if he can only catch a look of approval from his conductor. Any goal we have that diverts even to the slightest degree from the central goal of being approved to God, 2 Timothy 2:15, may result in our rejection from further service for Him. When you discern where the goal leads, you will understand why it is so necessary to keep looking on to Jesus, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Paul spoke of the importance of controlling his own body so that it would not take him in the wrong direction. He said, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest I myself should become disqualified," 1 Corinthians 9:27. I must learn to relate everything to the primary goal, maintaining it without interruption. My worth to God publicly is measured by what I really am in my private life. Is my primary goal to please Him and to be acceptable to Him, or is it something less, no matter how lofty it may sound? And it's so easy to have goals that aren't godly, right? We just kind of get caught up in the world and we want to be climbing that ladder and we want to be liked and we want to be loved and we want people to think well of us and we want to have money and we want to have nice home and car and all these kind of things. But what is he saying? We just have one goal. We need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That is the main goal. Getting into heaven is the main goal in life. And then after we are saved, bringing other people along. So whatever we're doing, our goal should always be trying to spread His word and try to get more people to know about Jesus and to come into the kingdom and not be selfish and thinking about ourselves and what we want and what might be best for us, but what is best for God and what is the best thing for those around us. That's what we need to keep our focus on. So I hope today you're keeping your eyes on Jesus and then He will give you some very wonderful goals. Right? And we hope to see you back here tomorrow. Welcome to My Utmost for His Highest for March 21st. Identified or simply interested? Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Identified or simply interested? This will be a good one. The inescapable spiritual need each of us has is the need to sign the death certificate of our sin nature. I must take my emotional opinions and intellectual beliefs and be willing to turn them into a moral verdict against the nature of the sin, that is, against any claim I have to my right to myself. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ." He did not say, "I have been made a determination to imitate Christ," or "I will really make an effort to follow Him," but "I have been identified with Him in His death." Once I reach this moral decision and act on it, all that Christ accomplished for me on the cross is accomplished in me. My unrestrained commitment to myself, to God, gives the Holy Spirit the opportunity to grant me the holiness of Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who live. My individuality remains, but my primary motivation for living and the nature that rules me are radically changed. I have the same human body, but this same old satanic right to myself has been destroyed. And the life which I now live in the flesh, not the life I long to live or even pray that I live, but the life I now live in my mortal flesh, the life which others can see, I live by faith in the Son of God. This faith was not Paul's own faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith of the Son of God had given to him. See Ephesians 2:8. It is no longer a faith in faith, but a faith that transcends all imaginable limits, a faith that comes only from the Son of God. And that's really good. We need to be totally identified with him, right? We need to put our old self away and die to that sinful nature and live our new life. And that only comes from Jesus' sacrifice. So I hope today, my friends, you believe in that he loved you enough to die for you. And that because of that, then we have this new life. So our identity is in Christ, which gives us the power and the courage to go out and do wonderful things in this world. And not just to be listening to the old things that the world has been telling us about us, but believing that we are a new creation and that we are identified with Jesus. So have a great day today, walking in your identity with Jesus Christ. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Welcome to My Utmost for His Highest for March 28th. Is there some misunderstanding? Let's look at John 11, verses 7 and 8. John 11, verses 7 to 8 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?'" Is there some misunderstanding? Just because I don't understand what Jesus Christ says, I have no right to determine that he must be mistaken in what he says. That is a dangerous view, and it is never right to think that my obedience to God's directive will bring dishonor to Jesus. The only thing that will bring dishonor is not obeying him. To put my view of honor ahead of what he is plainly guiding me to do is never right, even though it may come from a real desire to prevent him from being put to an open shame. I know when the instructions have come from God because of their quiet persistence. But when I begin to weigh the pros and cons and doubt and debate enter my mind, I am bringing in an element that is not of God. This will only result in my concluding that his instructions to me were not right. Many of us are faithful to our ideas about Jesus Christ, but how many of us are faithful to Jesus himself? That's a good question. Faithfulness to Jesus means I must step out even when I can't see anything. Matthew 14:29. But faithfulness to my own ideas means that I must first clear the way mentally. Faith, however, is not intellectual understanding. Faith is a deliberate commitment to the person of Jesus Christ, even when I can't see the way ahead. Are you debating whether you should take a step of faith in Jesus or whether you should wait until you can clearly see to do what he has asked? Simply obey him with unrestrained joy. When he tells you something and you begin to debate, it is because you have a misunderstanding of what honors him and what doesn't. Are you faithful to Jesus or faithful to your ideas about him? That's a good point. Are you faithful to what he says? Or are you trying to compromise his words with thoughts that never came from him? Whatever he says to you, do it. John 2, verse 5. I really like this one line. I'm going to go back and read this again. Are you debating whether you should take a step of faith in Jesus or whether you should wait until you can clearly see how to do what he has asked? That's really good because, you know, we can't see the whole picture. Like I said before, our lives are puzzle pieces and there's a big puzzle and God is up and he's looking down and he can see exactly where to move us and where the next puzzle piece should be for us. But we can't see that. And if we have to wait until we can clearly see what the next step's going to be before we take it, that's not really faith. Faith is trusting that I'm going to take this next step even though I can't see, especially in times when I don't understand or the way may seem, you know, cloudy and not so clear. but I have faith in the God of the universe who is going to be looking out for me. So I'm going to take that next step and the next step and just trust that he knows exactly where he wants me to go and where I'm going to end up. So hope today you have a great day trusting him and just taking that next step of faith. And I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thank you for watching. And I would love to answer any questions you have about faith in Jesus or how to grow your faith stronger. Contact me through my website, nancyjoytoyou.com. That's NancyJoy, the number 2, the letter U.com. And if you would like to order your own copy of My Utmost for His Highest, simply go to utmost.org. Thanks for listening today. I hope to see you back here tomorrow as we all grow our faith stronger by reading God's Word.